In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So who remembers the story of Jonah? Let me give you a quick refreshment. So Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And God says to Jonah one day, the people of Nineveh have gone astray. They do everything that makes them happy, that makes them comfortable. They do what they desire, and they have not kept my law. Go to Nineveh, tell them to repent. If they don't repent, tell them that I'm going to destroy them. Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, runs away the other direction. Ends up on a boat. The boat goes out on the ocean. Waves kick up. Big storm. All the sailors are afraid they're going to die. Why is this happening? What's going on? What did we do? Did we not give appropriate gifts? And there's Jonah. Look, this is happening because of me. I disobeyed my God. The only way to appease this is to throw me over the side. Well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Well, then you're going to die. The storm gets worse. They don't want to kill Jonah. Finally, Jonah gets thrown over the side, swallowed by a whale, and is in the whale for 3 days, which is a prefiguring of Christ's resurrection. But do you know what the whale did while Jonah was in the belly? Well, that whale swam to Nineveh and then vomited him out. Point of that story is, one way or the other, you're going to do what God wants you to do. So he goes to Nineveh, he walks into the town, tells Nineveh, look, you guys are screwing up. I don't care what you do, I kind of hope you get destroyed. But if you repent, God's gracious, he's going to let you live. So what does Nineveh do? Nineveh, realizing their mistake, the king orders basically days of sadness. Everybody dresses in sackcloth. Everybody puts ashes on their head, even the animals. They repent of what they have done, which is where the story of today, that we heard today of the Old Testament, comes in. It is because of the repentance that Jonah was angry. Jonah wanted to see him destroyed. And he makes this point of saying, well, look, God, I knew you were a gracious God. I knew that when they repented, you were going to let them live. I didn't want that. Do you get that? I didn't want that. I didn't want what you, the creator of the entire universe, wanted. I didn't want what you, my Lord, my Savior, my everything, told me to want. I didn't want to act how you wanted me to act because I knew how you were and I knew that they would be spared. Why am I harping on this so much? Well, look at the ideology of the landowner in the gospel. The people that worked for the owner, worked for the owner of the vineyard, who had authority over them, chose to dole out what he saw fit to dole out. And it is through his generosity that the people that worked 1 hour got paid the same as the people that worked the entire time. That is the epitome of the gospel. It is not our job to say who is worthy or unworthy of the gospel message. It is not our job to give condemnation to people that do not follow the gospel message. It is our job to follow our God and King, do what He asks us to do, and allow him to do what he will. When we do that, things that you cannot even possibly imagine happen. I'll give you a perfect example. Jen and I, earlier in the week, had decided to take a day out for ourselves. We went to Michigan City and ate at Red Lobster. As we sat down, some people from the congregation also had it in their mind to go eat at Red Lobster. We ended up with the same server. Now, out of the parishioners' generosity, we actually had a wonderful meal that was not paid for by us, which was very nice, and we were very grateful. It was very kind of them to do. But when they did that, they did not know what they were doing. You see, that server was having such a terrible night, and they had told her that I was the priest of St. Francis. So when she came over and told us that, well, some generous patrons have already paid for your dinner, and they wanted you to have a good time and enjoy it. I said, well, that's very kind. Thank you. She discovered that I truly was a priest. And she had issues. She had problems. Apparently, someone that night had ordered a meal, and the kitchen had gotten it wrong. And the server got blamed. The manager was called. She was belittled and mocked to her face. She was basically spit on by these people. She offered to make it right and pay for dessert out of her own pocket, which she did, which they accepted, but that didn't fix the problem for them. They wanted more. They actually made her cry. Now, from that story, you would think that she's a bad server. Yet she had one of the most infectious smiles I've ever seen in my life, right down to dimples that went all the way through. And she cried in mine and Jen's arms. She had been having such a bad night. And oh, did I mention, she was not the same color of skin that Jen and I were. Do you see the point of that, though? The people that bought us dinner, the people that Jen and I are, were being faithful to what God has called us to do. And by simply our daily lives and the things that we chose to do, He sent to us. And by us, I mean us. He sent to us someone who was questioning, who was hurting, who was broken of spirit. Who was belittled and degraded. Who was basically seen as worthless. And we had an opportunity to strengthen and encourage and uplift. To make this person's day better. Simply because we thought of something other than ourselves. That's Jonah's story. That's the landowner's story. You have heard me say before that if you follow God, the rest comes into place. Surely that is all that you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about politics or name tags or anything else. You need to be aware of those things, but your duty is to follow God. Your duty is to be exactly who you are, following the risen Lord, and the rest happens in ways that you can't even possibly imagine. And if you don't, well, watch out for whales. Little side note, people used to think that it was impossible for somebody to be swallowed by a whale. And what they have actually found is, no, this happens on rare occasions. And the people that this happens to and survive actually come out being bleached white and forever smelling like fish. That's actually not a joke. The stomach acid and everything else changes the person. But they survive. So there have been people that have survived this. The reason I tell you that is because people think, well, Jonah's just a story. It's just an allegory. Yes, it can be read that way. But in the immortal words of, what is it? William Shakespeare. There are more things in heaven and on earth than are dreamt of by you or I, Horatio. Follow God. Do not be worried about the things that go on in the world. Do not be caught up by labels. And understand that those are ways to associate things with. Follow God, and the inequality will disappear. Follow God, and the climate will be right. Follow God, and wars will stop. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we stop trying to have our own way, if we stop trying to live for ourselves and instead act as Paul did, if I live, I live to Christ. If I die, I die to Christ. Again, today we hear it is better to be dead and with Christ than it is to be alive and living, but for your benefit, I know that I will be alive. See, Philippi was having this type of trouble too. That's why Paul thought it better for him to stay alive so that he could minister to the people while he could. He didn't lay his burdens down, and he didn't choose to do that for himself. He followed God. May we all do so. May we be the light to the world, following an agenda not our own, but administering the saving graces of God to all we meet. Amen.